to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
scripture. The Bible says that you shall train up the child in the way he should go, and when he gets old, he will not depart from it. It is indeed a pleasure one more time to introduce to you tonight the speaker. For those who do not know, this is Pastor Ricardo Selman. He is the Family Life Director for the East Caribbean Conference of Seventh-day Adventist Churches. And he is here tonight to tell us a bit more about family life. I don't know, for those who were not here before, you missed a lot, but I'm still happy that you're here tonight. And I'm inviting you to come again tomorrow at 9:15. We'll be here tomorrow. Our family life program continues tomorrow at 9:15. And in the AY session in the afternoon at 4 o'clock, we have our program as well. This is where the young people will interact with the pastor. And of course, there are a lot of burning issues among the young people. And I'm sure that if you really want an answer from heaven, because the pastor will only give you the biblical answer, and if he gives you his personal opinion, he is the type of pastor that will say, this is my personal opinion. And tonight, Pastor, without any more ado, we want to welcome you to the pulpit. The congregation is yours.
Good night to everybody. Can you hear me okay? Let's talk and get the technicians to give me the right pitch here so that I have voice for tomorrow. I'm going to give you a little piece of my voice tonight and the last of it tomorrow. So let's make sure that technicians are testing, they're testing. I hope you've had a good day today. I missed you last night. That's good. And I was told that the young man that is over here, what's his name again? Moses. Mm-hmm. Oh, I know Stephen a long time ago. In the days when I was courting. Yeah, I knew him in the days when I was courting. Then my father-in-law was sick, love him all the time. So I know him for many years now. So I was told that the lady is his wife. I'm so sorry that I made you single on Wednesday. I divorced them. Well, it's good to see you. It's good to be here. Tonight we want to talk about spiritual intimacy. Spiritual intimacy. Still not feeling the mic. Still not feeling the mic yet. Spiritual intimacy is what we want to talk about tonight. And I want to invite you to bow your heads with me as a prayer. Maybe the good Lord will straighten this out. For us, Father, we are so thankful. 6 days of work, Lord. One for rest. We are thankful for that day of rest. Not to lay down and sleep, Lord, but to worship. For in worshiping you, our energies are buoyed up. For in heaven, there are angels who are saying constantly, glory and glory and glory and glory and glory. And they've been saying glory from eternity, and they're still saying glory, glory, and glory. They never get tired. And we want to pray, Lord, that we will not get tired in worshiping you. As we gather one more time under this tent to study your word, discuss family, we are praying that you will come near and dear to us. Forgive us of our sins, Lord. Because we want to make sure that our worship is acceptable to you. to come near to us, be a blessing to us, strengthen us tonight, and be with me as I speak in Jesus' name. Spiritual intimacy. It's a little hot. Can I take off this jacket? And I'm burning up. Yeah, thank you. I mean, I was going to take it off anyhow, but I just thought it'd be a little polite, you know. I'm glad you said yes, though, but then I would have to be rebellious and take it off. All right, spiritual intimacy. Spiritual intimacy. Where did you learn about God? Where did you learn about God? At home? Your parents? Your parents taught you about God? No. That's true. That's true. Where did you learn about God?
Reading my Bible. Yeah.
That's good. That's good. Let me come on this side over here. Let me come right in this front over here. This looks like a good family here. Where did you learn about God?
At home.
At home with mommy and daddy?
Not daddy.
Where is daddy?
Deceased.
We're sorry to hear that. Wifey, is your wife right? Yeah, you hesitated there, though. He hesitated when I asked him that. The best wife in the world? No, man. No. We're going to have a little competition here, man. I can't ask her that, man. I'll ask my wife that. But it's good that your husband can say that about you. That's wonderful. Where did you learn about God?
Coming at Amazing Grace.
Oh, is that right? So you learn about God here. Okay. Are you learning about God? Look at you. Yeah, sweetie, look at you. Where do we generally learn about God? Where do we generally learn about God? Where do we generally learn about God? Generally. You know about God? You do? Who taught you about God? Your mother? Where is your mother? Oh. And mommy, where did you learn about God? When you started coming to church here? So they teach about God under this thing? Oh, yeah? Good. That's very good. That's good, Ella. You're teaching about God under this thing. That's good. That's good. Open your Bibles with me to the book of 1 Kings. Next slide, baby, please. 1 Kings 18. Is that the first slide? Go back there. Let me see again, babe. Back again. Okay. And I remember that he raised it and forgot to put it back. First Kings 18. Let's go there, please. First Kings 18. We're going to read from verse 30. The Bible goes something like this. Read with me, please. Then Elijah said to all the people, come here to me. They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. Now remember, the altar was taken, it was destroyed, it was in pieces. So what Elijah did, he called the people together, and he said, come up, let's put this altar back together again. Now I want you to stay with me. He says, let's put this altar back together again. It was in ruins. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each tribe. jump down here with me to verse 34. He said, do it again. That is, pour large buckets of water on it. Then he said, do it a third time, verse 36. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed. Now watch it now. He prayed. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Verse 37, answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and you are turning their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the soil, and licked up the water in the trench. And all the people saw this. They fell prostrate and cried, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. This is the story of Elijah. We know that story quite well. In the building of the altar. I'm going to leave that story and come back to it. So stay with me. I'm going to leave that story and come back. What I want you to get from that story at this point in time is that the people were asked to rebuild the altar. Yes, tonight I'm talking about family altar. I'm talking about rebuilding the altar of the Lord. Is that okay? I'm talking about family worship. That's what I'm talking about tonight. So stay with me here. So they were told to rebuild the altar because it was in ruins. I don't know what is happening in your house. I really don't know what's happening in your house, and that's a good thing. But presently, I believe that there are many, many altars that are in ruins. That the Seventh-day Adventists no longer have altars in their homes. I want to make that assumption because I have not done any research. I am not going to ask you for a show of hands how many of you have altars in your homes. I may not like the response I will get. But I have noticed, however, that there are many Adventists who do not have altars. Matter of fact, I am fairly sure that every couple that comes to me and are having problems, one thing they don't have is a family altar. Should I repeat that to you? Let me say it again. Every couple that has ever come to me, every couple that has ever come to me, when the question is asked, do you have a family altar? The response is always no. They're in ruins. They're just laying there in total wreck. So if you have an altar that is wrecked, you're going to have a wreck house. I want you men to listen to me tonight. Because it is the responsibility of the man to erect the altar in his house. Don't get upset with me. That's what the Bible says. Don't get all bent out of shape. And it is the responsibility of the woman, when the altar is called, to come to the altar along with her children. I wish you had stayed home tonight, didn't you? Now you're a little uncomfortable. Feel uncomfortable back there? Good. I am saying to you tonight that as long as your altar is in ruins, it is time for you to begin to pick up the pieces of your altar and rebuild it. That's what I'm trying to say. I want to say to you tonight that the altar is not an what? It's not an option. It is an order. It is an order, not a might, but a mandate. In other words, this is not something we have to be thinking and working through. We are expected to erect altars in our homes. It doesn't matter how busy you become. Next slide, please. Next slide. Read with me, please. Child Guidance, page 520. Ladies, sorry.
parents, listen carefully now. This is taken from Child Guidance. It says, fathers and mothers, read with me. However what? Pause, please. However, pressing. Stay with me. It doesn't matter how pressing your business is. Makes no difference. Do not, read on now, do not fear to gather your, now watch it, fathers and mothers, husbands and wives, gather your family around God's altar. Uh-oh, whose altar it is? That's right. So when a family comes together, they are not coming together at the husband's altar or the mother's altar. They are coming together at God's altar. Yes, sir. Watch it. And when you get there, here's what you do. You ask for the what? Guardianship. Uh-oh. This is powerful stuff. You ask for the guardianship of what? Holy angels in your home. No wonder so home. Some homes are so miserable. For me, tell you, walk into somebody's house, you can feel the misery. Don't you know that if there is confusion in the house when you walk into it, you feel it? You feel the tension. You feel as though some evil spirit is walking around here somewhere. It's like, there's something passed by. What is that? You know, you make another step, and you feel a woof. And you sit down, you feel like somebody watching you. And our people are able to live comfortable in those environments. I'm going to work on you. You should have stayed home tonight. I'm going to work on you. Next slide, baby. Next slide. Watch this. Is my wife still there? Oh, okay. Ministering what? Angels will guide your children who are dedicated to God. Let me tell you something, folks. With the amount of demons hanging around here, you better be praying for your children. Not only that, let me tell you something. There are churches up the hill where people are praying, casting out demons. And when the demons come out, they're going to have to go somewhere. And if you are not well prayed up, if your children are not well protected, if you are not well protected while your child is walking home from school and the devil is being cast out or walking up and down the street trying to find someone to go into and it sneaks your child and your child is not protected, it will go into your child. Oh yes. You better believe it. I heard a man said one time a lot of Adventists got demons. He scared the daylights out of me. That's serious business. You know, there are all kinds of demons, you know, the real bad demons that were taking through all over the place. And there's some who are very, very quiet. All they want to do is sit inside you and behave themselves. You know that? All right, we ain't talking demons, so that's another story. Watch it now. It is the duty of Christian parents. Watch this now. People ask the question, now should you have worship in the morning and in the evening? Here. Testimonies, Volume 1, page 397, 398. For those who don't know, this is Sister Ellen G. White. Watch it. Here it says, it is the duty of Christian parents when, and let's get that right now, when morning and evening. Morning and evening. All them sins we collected during the day, we got prayer that God will give us. And by earnest what? Prayers and preserving faith to make a hedge around the children. To make a hedge around the who? Yes. Next slide, baby. Next slide. Come here. Watch it now. Watch this. Oh, my goodness. The rewards of home and family are almost intrinsic. Watch this. You are not paid to do it. Maybe we should pay some people to do it. They're intrinsic. Watch it. You do not get prestige out of doing it. What else? No cheers, No one cheers you in the role. Nobody don't cheer you. Eh? No one cheers you and say that you are also important when you have worship with your family. Nobody does that. Next slide, baby. Let me give them a next one. Ultimately, we must decide either to steer or to go where the river takes us. Water travels the path of least resistance. So some people are just going along. That's how some people go along. Whatever happens, happens. I go down. Brothers, don't worry. You'll end up somewhere. You know where water generally ends up? In the sea. Some of y'all gonna drown. The key to successful steering is to be intentional. Watch the words now. The word is what? Intentional. In other words, get up in the morning. Make it your intentional. Make it your intentional to get up in the morning at 6 o'clock and have worship. And well, if 5 works, come at 5. There's some fellows who may have to get up at 3, but you've got to get up. My wife would always say how her father would wake them up early in the morning, have worship. Then they go back to sleep. Go back to sleep. The children can go back to sleep. But daddy has to go to work. But he has to get those children at the altar before he gets off to work. He ain't gonna kill them. It makes them sweet. And if you want a sweet wife, get one from a house that had family worship. It makes sweet wives and children. Husband, I know. I married a woman, I married a man, so I can only talk. But I'm sure they're men the same, I'm sure. I'm sure men the same. Men the same, men the same. So you have to be intentional about your family rituals. Next slide, next slide, next slide. I like this text. If perchance you are having a difficult time getting to the altar on the morning and in the evening, the Bible has the answer to your problem. It says, commit your ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So that's a text you're going to have to go home and read all night and all day and ask God to help you to live up to that. Next slide. I'm going to give you the characteristics of worshiping families. Write them down. Write them down. In worshiping families, there is cohesion. You know what cohesion is? Togetherness. Now watch this. There's all kinds of cohesions, you know. You know, there's some families that are so connected with each other that they're sickening. Let me tell you why. There's some families that are so joint with one another. They're so connected with one another. They're so interlocked with each other that they become what is called enmeshed. And there are some families that are, the cohesiveness is not too much and the children go wayward. But listen, I want to talk about the good one. You see, the good one is the cohesion. And this one, there's adequate emotional closeness. Read with me, please. That allows each family member to be what? Individuated or separate. In other words, though my family is close to each other, they have their own minds. I've noticed that some people try to take away the minds of other people. Maybe not down here. Maybe somewhere else. The Bible said the two shall become one. And what we've noticed is that you find a man or a woman trying to melt into each other. So that you don't know the difference between the man and the woman. I have a problem with that. You are expected to be your own individual person. Don't let nobody take that from you. You were made that way for a reason by God. Don't let nobody take it away from you. You see, when the emotional bonds are sufficient enough to create the right kind of closeness, the family is strong. But when it is too close and too far, let me tell you what happens when they're too close. Abuse takes place. Are you listening to me? All kinds of abuse takes place when it's too close. You need to be close enough to make sure that every family member care about each other, yet they are different. Let the boy be the boy and let the girl be the girl. Are you listening to me? Now each must recognize the other separate individuals as separate individuals, two members, though members of the same family. Next slide. And then there's adaptability. Now, this family is adaptable. The strong family that is involved in worship is an adaptable family. This family is adaptable and is flexible, yet maintaining good structure. In the house, these families are orderly. They get things done, and they get them done well. Watch this. For example, there is a set time for family worship. That's fine. But it don't mean that just because you say that family worship is at 6 o'clock every day, if you get up at 7 o'clock, you can't have it. Or it doesn't mean you can't have it at 5 or 5:30. The adaptable family learns how to adapt the situation based on the circumstances that are around them. So just if you have a hard, mean father, and he says family worship is at 6 o'clock, when he says 6 o'clock, he means 6 o'clock, you know. And anybody who doesn't come there at 6 o'clock and be in trouble, you know, he's going to beat somebody down and then come back and pray. Now, I don't understand that. But I've discovered that some of the meanest, I've got to say this, though, I really got to say that. Some of the meanest people, some of the wickedest folk, are those hard, seasoned folk who simply can't be flexible at all. And they use God to beat you down. And they will tell you things. The Bible says that the woman should be submissive. Man. And anytime that woman is submissive, she gets some good lashes. And the brother come in church and preaching right after he put some lashes on. There's hypocrisy at its highest. You're going to burn, by the way. I don't know if anybody told you that. You're going to burn. Matter of fact, I have a philosophy that you're going to burn for about 10,000 years. No, I can't be 10,000 because we're going to heaven for 1,000. You're going to burn for 900. The Lord can start with your toe, and the toe can take 2 weeks just to burn off. That's how I believe it's going to be. Adventists who fool around, by the way. Because you fool around in the church, you're mean, you're harsh, and can't adapt and be flexible. The Lord can burn you. It can take you 900 years just to burn. And you're going to work your way up. You're going to be sitting in hell. And all that's going to be left is your neck. Still alive. Until for the last 100 years, God started to work on the rest and burn you to pieces because it's downright wickedness. Messing around with God, we make our own rules and we call them God's rules. God, Bible says you got to be submissive. What do you want submissive for? Submissive to you? I ain't submissive to you. You telling me you got to be submissive all the time? You need to be submissive. So you got to learn how to be flexible, how to adapt. You got to learn when, if the child is sick and the child said, "Dad, I can't come out the bed this morning, I'm sick." Don't sit with us, have worship in the living room. You got to come in the living room for worship. Get up, go in the bedroom with the child, sit on the bed, take the chairs in there, have worship in there with the child, and pray for the child.
Don't say, "Oh man, we have worship over here every morning, and you better get over here even if you crawl."
That's crude stuff. That's harsh. Lack of compassion. So you got to learn how to be adaptable. Learn how to adapt. Give me the next slide, babe. Learn to communicate. Families who are involved and they're closely connected, let me tell you what happens. They know how to communicate with each other. And you will learn that as you begin to have your family worship. Watch it. This pertains to the receiver of communication. See, communication is very, very important in relationships. Very, very crucial. You know, they say that men are from Mars and women from Venus. Well, I don't know about all that. All I know is that we all down here on Earth. And we have got to learn how to talk with each other. The person, watch it now. The person who is receiving the communication, watch me, should get the communication as it is intended. Stay with me. Because this is a cohesive family, you're not going to get all of that kind of confusion. Because this family has learned how to communicate with each other. So you're not going to get things like, "So who you think you're talking to? You think that because you're my mother that I got to listen to you? You think because you're my father I got to hear what you say?" You don't get that. See, you don't get an attitude like that. That is attitude. That is attitude. You don't get that. When you are communicating, because there's connection between the family, is a cohesive, adaptable family, when anything is expressed, it is expressed with the right body language and the right words. Are you listening to me? The right body language and the right words. So if my daughter is going to say anything to me, because I already understand that my daughter wants to communicate something to me, I, as the receiver, is going to have the appropriate posture. The posture that says, "Sweetheart, Daddy is willing to listen to you." You got that? Now, because Daddy is willing to listen to her, she is going to adopt the position, "Okay, I am safe now that my daddy is willing to listen to me. He's not going to cause me any harm." So she speaks, and she speaks freely. And when she has finished speaking freely, she has spoken in an environment that will keep her safe. So though I may not agree with what she says, I will not treat her mean and harsh simply because she was willing to share with me and simply because there is a cohesiveness and adaptability within the family. Are you all listening to me? The reason the family gets away from each other is because the family has been allowed to go haywire. You have to learn how to keep your family close without it being over close. Did you get that? Okay. So good listening skills, good body language, and a willingness to seek clarification. Empathy is expressed. Empathy, in other words, within that family, there has to be a willingness when a family member expresses a hurt. You know one of the things that bother me? And you know there's some folk you just want to grab by their throat and squeeze them. You ever met any of those people yet? You never met any of them yet? Only some of you met some, but I've met some of them. You imagine that some, you come to someone and say, "Hey," a young little girl comes and says, "Pastor Selman, my mommy died." and she begins to cry. You can imagine I saying to this young lady, suck it up. Get over it. You imagine that? You imagine that? That's a little extreme. Let me bring it in. You can imagine a young lady comes to church. No, she comes to church. She wearing earrings, but you don't like earrings. No, see, because you don't like earrings, you feel she shouldn't come to church. You see, this church ain't yours, you know. See, there's a reason why these doors here open up, you know. See, your house ain't open up like this, you know. The reason why this here open up here is so everybody can come in. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. You have 20 somebody doors here. And some behind here. There's a reason why like that. Because any and everybody is to come in here. So simply because somebody come in here and wear a little earring in the ear and a little lipstick on the lip, you upset. But well, here's yours. What are you upset about? What about that make you upset? It reminds you of when you were small, no? So hear this. You're standing up there talking to somebody, and you don't know the child passing by here, and she had the audacity to come in here with earrings on her ear. Who she thinks she is? And the child hears that, and the child never returns. And then you're wondering why you ain't got no young people in your church. Because that child left and went around and spread news. Those people over there don't like young people. They ain't gonna say, because you had the earring, they're gonna say, they don't like young people over there, and the church is a dead church. That is not compassionate. As long as someone wants to come to the church, let them come. Let them come. Listen, what changes people is not you. It is the power of God. So give the power of God a chance to work before you start to push people away. And everybody don't develop at the same pace. People develop at different pace. Give them a chance. Some y'all been in the church forever and still wicked. So a little child come to church just for once and you're vexed. You're only vexed because you're wicked. Not you all. I mean other places. I don't mean y'all. You know what I mean? Other places. You know what I mean? You know what I mean. The church has to be a free place where people will come and find Jesus at their own time. So when that person comes to church and they come in the earring, forget the earring. Go and share. He's so glad to see you today. Is everything all right with you? Good. We have lunch. You know, you can come and have lunch with us, you know. That's what you do with God. Listen to me. That was the Jesus way. But you can only do that if your house is a house that is filled with the Spirit of God. If your house is like a river that runs in any direction, you can't get that done. You can't do that. I believe one of the reasons why the church, sometimes, not this church here, not this church out there, but some of them other places, some of them are so confused is because the families don't have family worship. Family worship is a good thing. Don't you know? There's nothing like praying with your spouse. See, tonight when I finish praying with my wife, you know, I give her a kiss. I say, happy Sabbath, baby. I love you. So, she's smart. She says, I'll do that again. Take your husband, take your wife. Look, friend, let's get serious about this thing. Take your husband, take your wife, and begin to pray. You know, say, Lord, I want to thank you for this woman. Lord, I want to thank you for this man. Now, you know that there are many things about the man you don't like and many things about the woman you don't like. Huh? Yeah, you know that and I know that. We all know that. But don't bother about that. Those things will go away. As soon as you start in prayer, you say, Lord, this is a really, really good man. There's a good woman. You know, no, she makes sure I have food, you know. He makes sure that we have food on the table. And when he's home, we feel safe. I want to thank you for him. Oh, Lord, I give you thanks for the fact that you put him in my life. Let me tell you something. When you start to pray like that with and for each other, that's a powerful, powerful thing. Don't sit up there, you simply because the man got you vexed yesterday and you decide and pray with him. What? And just because the woman get you vexed, you decide you are praying with her. No, let me tell you something. That is the hate that you pray. Otherwise, what you're really going to do, you're going to leave it open for the devil to come in. And let me tell you something. He's waiting for every available opportunity to come in. You can't give him that opportunity. You got to cover the bases. You got to lock off all the edges and make sure your entire place is surrounded by angels with swords. Chop him up when he comes by. Take him, chop him in pieces. Kick him and all kind of stuff. Body slam him. Stand up in his chest. All kind of spit on him. Poo. Poo. Poop mouth. Poo. Get him out. Don't fool around with the devil. Role structure. Watch it. Each family member has a role to play. Every one of you. Now watch it. There is agreement between the husband and wife as to their roles. There has to be agreement. Because after all this family worship and so on, you got to wash them wares here. You got to cook that food. You got to clean outside. So let's get busy. See, because everybody knows his or her roles. It is not who played a role, but the mutual agreement about the role. In other words, this is your role. See, my role is always clear. It has to be clear. Now, it doesn't mean that just because I have this role that my wife can't help me out. She can help me out. Now, I said to y'all already, I can cook, wash, clean. There's nothing my wife can do for me. No. I can do all that stuff myself. But I ain't doing it all myself. What's up, babe? She got to do something. But we understand the role, so don't come home and tell me that you forget to cook. What? Oh, you could forget to cook. Well, I ain't forget to cut the grass. Are you following me? So the roles must be clear and the boundaries must be clear. Everybody knows exactly what his or her role is in the family. Why? Because there is cohesiveness, there's adaptability, huh? There's communication. And there's a role structure. There's a role structure. Go on down there. Family worship creates what is called spiritual intimacy. Spiritual intimacy. Yes, sir. It means this. It means that there is a closeness that exists between the husband and the wife. And if there's anything in the relationship that is problematic, the husband and the wife knows that there's a God they can go to help them to solve their problem. That's spiritual intimacy. Talk about it and say, look, sweetheart, you really ain't got no money, you know. You broke. Well, which is all the time, generally, but that one we don't really have to pray about because it's always a broke thing. So, you know, maybe, you know, this is a heavy one here. You know, we really got to pray about this. And, come together and we pray about it and put it in the hands of the Lord. But see, the only way we can do that, the only way we can pray and have that kind of prayerful connection is because there's a spiritual intimacy. See, God is the one that is ruling all the things. See, God rules. God, you see, it's not, the ruling doesn't take place here, it takes place here. See, God rules, he takes over in the life. He's the one who guides and directs. Watch this, watch this, watch this, watch it. It is looking to God for direction in making decisions. Next slide. Watch this here now. Watch it. You got to submit to the power of God. Hear this. And let him control you rather than attempting to control each other. Stay with me now. Let me say that again. Then I can hit your heart. Watch it. Submit to the power of God and let him control you. Now watch it. If you don't submit to the power of God, you're going to become a controller. Watch it. Rather than attempting to control each other. Now watch it. We have in our homes this power for control. Now, if you are a newly married person or you are planning to get married, there's going to be a power struggle in the house. Now, see, the power struggle will go away. Eh? You submit to the power of God. But if you decide to submit to your own power, then you are going to control your spouse. Or seek to control. Why? Because you want your spouse to do what you say is an interesting thing. Don't you know that the more you try to make someone like you, the more they become like you, the more you hate them. Because the reason you are trying to make them like you is because you don't like you. So because you don't like you, when the person begins to look like you, then you want to kill them because they're behaving like you. So you have to make sure that people maintain their own sense of individuality. Don't let a person in the world change you. Don't let nobody change you. I love my wife, but she ain't going to change me. She better don't even try it. Because I ain't trying to change her. So she better don't try to change me. Because if you try to change me by the rear side, it's war. Are you ready for a fight? Now, that is what makes me fight. Be together here. So don't mess with that. Don't try to control each other. It's a bad thing to do. Stop competing and start praying. You know, money is an interesting thing. You know, the person who controls the money has the power. Listen, if you are courting a man, right, and he wants to stop you from working, leave him. You know that? So seriously, anytime you are courting a man and he is telling you to stay home from work and not work for you, drop him. Run hard here. Because not only is he going to stop you from working, he's going to stop you from thinking, he's going to stop you from talking, and eventually he's going to kill you. It starts with the money. See, it's only now that I work for more money than my wife. Sometimes. But most of the time she works more than me, all it now. But you know, from the time I met that woman, she was working for more money than me. From the time I met her, she was working for more money than me. You think that bothered me? No. I had one thing to say to that. The more money she gets, the more you spend. Simple as that. Yes, sir. I thought some brothers vexed because the wife worked for more money. Why? Now, that's a sign of some serious insecurity. That's a man that got some serious problems. But let me tell you, you realize that I see it, my brother? As long as she got more, I got more. Hey, but then, you know, we pool the money. See, we don't get to this money game. If I make the mistake and I say to my wife, baby, I need $20, she give me $40. If she says she wants $20, I say, baby, you better go and look somewhere else. You know, you just messing with you. But money is a power thing. We use it to control people. That's why even some churches where they got the treasure. You know, there's some treasures in churches that believe because that they're treasures that they control the church. money is a crutch. Listen, I passed a lot of churches over the years. Not here at this church. I passed a lot of churches over the years, and it's just one or two churches that wasn't like that. Most of the folk who are treasured believe the money is theirs. I could never for the life of me get that figure out. You know why? Because money says I can control everything, because you can't eat without money. The one thing you could have done that when I live in the country, pick bare fruits and all kinds of stuff. You need no money to eat. But you know that they're selling the bare fruits in town. No, but when it doesn't, that is serene. But money, who controls the money has the power. I always figure that the more money you have, the more you should be willing to share. That's what I was thinking. But folk, the more money they got, the more they want to control. So you got to watch that. Watch that. Stop competing. Stop praying. You're going to get up before 9 o'clock. Now watch it. Watch this now. When it comes to relationship, facts are irrelevant. You ever hear some people say, let me lay the facts on. I find it really interesting. Like in a therapy room, the couple comes in and they hear, Pastor, let me tell you the facts. Man, I have no interest in your facts. Now I can listen to it. Now I know y'all are going to come to me. Hallelujah. Watch it. Pastor, let me give you the facts. And they get you the facts piece by piece. It's all interesting. Now the other partner begin the facts too. So there's one set of facts here and there's one set of facts here. So you got me totally confused because I don't know who's right. But watch it though. Are you really interested in who's right though? You know? Because who's right is irrelevant. Is your side and the truth. And only God knows that sometimes. So watch it. Forget the facts. Don't mind the facts. Facts don't work in relationships. Understanding works in relationships. That is what works. Simply because you are right does not make you right. Not in a relationship. In a relationship, you try to understand, not to be understood. So here. So you come now with all your facts, you add up, you do your research, you put together all the relevant information. But you're still confused. You're still confused as to what to do. Here. But when you turn to Jesus, Lord help me here, and open it all up to his leading, other stuff will come to the mind and that you would have forgotten. I don't know if you're following this, you know. No, you're following this. Let me slow it down a little bit. When it comes to God, one and one and two, you know. That is us. When it comes to God, one and one could come together. Watch it. Because when you have gone through all of your facts and you are still confused, you pull your family one side and begin to pray. And when you have finished praying, God opened you up to stuff that you had forgotten all about. And when he does that, you have got to abandon what you came up with. The new facts and figures, and do it God's way. For the only way to do it is God's way. And I tell you this, when God is leading in the family, he shows you a way that you have not yet thought about. That's how God works it. And watch it. Jesus, as you will notice, makes the difference. So you see, the difference is not in the man or in the woman. The difference is in Jesus. So that is why I say to you over and over again, it is not about you. It's about Jesus. Next slide. When you learn how to submit your way to the Lord. True spiritual intimacy will be developed. But you got to learn how to do it. You got to learn how to submit your will to the Lord. You got to learn how to do it. It requires the husband and the wife praying and talking and having interaction with each other. And then they realize, we can't do this alone. Let's go to God. As you go to God, what God does is show you the right way to do it. And God's way is always the best way. Give me this last one here, baby. Watch it. 1 Kings 21. Back to my text now as I pull it in. 1 Kings 18. It's 18. Sorry, it's 1 Kings 18. Verses 21 and 39. Hear what the Bible says now. I want you to get this now as I pull this in. Hear this. Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, do what? But if Baal is God, and what did the people do? They did not say a word. You know why they didn't say a word? The same reason we don't say a word. Let me tell you why. They could not say a word simply because they had not yet seen God manifest himself in any great way. And their loyalty was to Baal. They were willing to take their chances with Baal, not with God. Here's the problem. Now you listen to me now. You listen to me very carefully. Let me put on my glasses so you can see it, but I can't see none of you right now. Hold on. Let me say this to y'all. Don't miss me. If God has not done anything in your family to show that he is God, you are going to be very, very resistant to God. Especially when people around you are crying out, God is good. You never experienced that. So you're going to be resistant to it because you really don't know. Elijah said to the people, don't miss me. You stay with me now. Elijah said to the people, if God be God, serve him. And those people kept quiet. See, they had to keep quiet because they had no evidence to suggest that God is able to do what he says he can do. They didn't have the evidence. Do you have evidence? Do you have evidence that God is able to do something great? Matter of fact, that God is able to do a miracle in your life? That evidence becomes clear when you spend time with God and see what God has done simply because you and your family go to God when things get difficult. If you have the answer, you don't need God. If you can see the outcome, you don't need God. It's when you can't see the outcome, when the situation looks impossible and there's nowhere out, I can talk about that. I can testify to that. Let my wife tell you. We can testify to that. You only understand that when you see God work in a way that did not make sense. If you want evidence as to what God is able to do, you've got to go back to the family altar. One thing I enjoy about our children, as soon as something happens, they start to pray. Begin to pray. And when they get the answer, they give thanks. Simple thing. Evidence. If you want evidence, though, to your faith, God will give it to you. Watch this. Watch this. Don't miss this one. You remember that Elijah now goes through and he tells the people, hey, look, take all the water. Throw some water on. Throw some on. Now he's built the altar up. Now watch it. He's built the altar up. Build it back for God. But now he turns it into a river. Because he takes water and he throws and he throws and he throws and he throws and he throws. And he said to the people, throw more on. Here. Hear the difference in verse 39. Because when he had thrown all of that on, now he calls out to God, God, let these people see that you're God. And watch what happens in verse 39. Watch it now. Verse 39. Watch it right there. When all the people saw this, they fell. What did they say now? What are they saying now? Come on, church. The Lord, he's God. See, I don't know what you are picking up from all of that. These people needed evidence. And if you need evidence, God will give you evidence. Oh, yes, he will. Because all things being equal, you can't throw all of that water on anything and catch a fire, anything. No. God made it. God made the impossible possible. And the Bible says now that the people have evidence. Now they cry out, the Lord, he is God. Because they have evidence. Now some of you need evidence. I know. But if you want evidence, ask God for it. He'll give it to you. He'll give it to you. They have to see it in their lives. What? Forget the English. They then will shout, the Lord is God. He is God. My brothers and sisters, do you want evidence? Do you? Let me tell you all something about God. Let me tell you about God as we close. If you're experiencing a problem in your marriage, God can solve it. If there's any struggle in your marriage, anything you're working with, God can solve it. If you want a wife, watch me now. Watch me preach it. God will give it. Let me tell you why. You know why God has to solve a problem in a husband and a wife relationship? It don't matter the problem. Financial, sexual, emotional, personal, all of those. It makes no difference. Let me tell you why God will solve it. Let me tell you why. See, God will solve it simply because the husband and a wife relationship is an indication to the world as to who God really is. You think God will mess that up? God ain't messing that up. He's not going to mess that up. God is not going to mess that up. He's not going to mess it up.
And all you got to do,
is to call on God. Listen, there is nothing happening in your marriage right now that God can't solve. Nothing. Listen. Check this. If you don't got no sex, drugs, God will give you one. Know that? You better believe that. Listen, my brother. Don't fool yourself. I don't usually got any money, but I can get my bills paid. Nobody in here listening to me. Y'all ain't listening to me. Y'all listen to me. Y'all better listen to me. You listen to me. That's right. If there is an emotional problem in your marriage and somehow something is not connecting, God can solve it. Try and see. You know what our problem is? We like to whine and complain. Because that makes us feel good. I'll listen to that, but God is saying to you, listen, talk to me. Talk to God on it. Say nothing. Listen, God specializes in the impossible in a relationship. I tell you that me and my wife is as far as the east is from the west, man. We don't agree on nothing. Ask us right there. I said, baby, I can put on the black pants, you just put on you. I said, baby, I can comb it, you just brush it. Peas in a pot. We ain't gotta agree to have a good relationship. No, because it's not about me and her; it's about God. I treat her the way God wants me to, and she does the same. That is what makes it work. But we don't agree on anything. I always early; she always late. I'm a pastor, she's a dietitian. Are you all following what I'm saying? And we got two children. And as far as the east is from the west, the same very way. But those two children live really good when they're ready to fast, but don't get in between the two of them. All of us different. But that has nothing to do with anything. Because we were all made different. And God did that on purpose for His will. My son is aggressive. My daughter is reserved. I am reserved. My wife is aggressive. You see what it is? They don't see that. Ask her right there. Different all together. So what? Matter of fact, I like her more that way because there can't be two of us. If the two of us, one is necessary. But there can't be two of us. So she think and reason for herself. I think and reason for myself. So do my children. The same thing. They think and reason. But daddy, I don't think so. Oh, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Why? We've always had family worship. Always. I don't ask you to do anything I don't do. Always. And when we don't have it, it feels funny. Funny. I don't know what your problem is. Your problems are. I really don't. Hallelujah for that. But here's the deal. If you are having difficulties, go home and talk to God. Now watch it. If your husband or wife is not part of the church, that's all right. That's going to make it much sweeter. Because God is about to do something marvelous. But you got to live right. See, we don't live right for our spouses, so they don't come to church. You gotta live right. Let me tell you how you do it while we close up here. Watch it here. You go home tonight, and you know you weren't talking to the man or to the woman, you really didn't know. But you go home tonight and you talk. It's like, but you don't just rush in there, you get somebody a heart attack. You don't want to get about a stroke, you know what I mean? You take your time to get in there, it's like, good night, sweetheart. And go about your business. When you pass back a little later on in the house, depending on the size of the house you bought. And you see your spouse again. See, you gotta confuse them, see. You gotta confuse them. Mm-hmm. Would you like a glass of water or something? Oh, good, that's fine. Just talk to you, man. That's what you do. See you. You work on them. You wear them down. And then when you kneel them on the bed tonight, while you're laying down there, you know he ain't sleeping, or you know she ain't sleeping. You get them from your knees now. You're a little timid now because it ain't normal for you to get from your knees. But you go down from your knees now, you know? and you start to pray, Lord, I want to thank you for the fact that I got a bed first. Because some people ain't got no bed. And I'm so thankful that my spouse can have a good rest in it. I really don't feel lovey tonight. But I want you to help me to love my spouse anyhow. You're talking to God. You're telling God how you feel. And you lay it out, and you lay it out, and you lay it out. And then when you finish, you say, thank you, Jesus. And I thank you for the person that you put in my life. Now, of course, that person laying on the bed, whether man or woman, is going to be totally confused. But you go and you lay down and you sleep. Now, chances are, that man or that woman is sleeping tonight at all, because they're tossing and turning, trying to figure out what you're up to. But you're not up to anything. And then you get up in the morning before the partner get up, you get up again and start the prayer. Lord, I want to thank you for bringing me through the night safe. Before my husband or my wife, whichever it is, go off to work this morning, I want you to give them protection on the road as they travel. I love him. I love her. Thank you so much for her. Amen. And get up. I'm sure that man can get up, or a woman can get up in that morning and start saying, what does he want? What does she want? But I tell you what, as you start to break them down piece by piece, they'll open up. Because now you're displaying a love. You are displaying a love that they have never yet seen ever. Jesus. All heads are bowed and all heads are closed. I pray for you one more time. Father, I don't know who I have spoken to tonight in this church. There are many faces here. All kinds of issues, problems in the marriages. Problems with a husband, problems with the wife, problems with the children, problems at work, problems with the neighbors, problems with everybody. They are just problems. Oh, Lord, there are problems everywhere. But we have decided tonight to develop spiritual intimacy between us and our partners, and we are determined that we will pray with them, enjoy their company, live with and for them, and praise you. The problems are there, and we're going to leave the problems for you to sort out, because you're able to sort them out. And tonight, Lord, look at this congregation. Look at them, Lord. Look into their hearts. Get into their minds. Get into their souls. Break their hearts. Move on the inside of them. Break them down. Bring them to their knees. Humble their spirits. Melt them down. Bring them off their high horse and help them to understand that you alone is God. And they're going to have to trust you to work it out for them. Lord, tonight, they may be a husband or wife, parents or children in difficulty. Lord, can you give them evidence you're able to do. They're a little timid now, Lord, but we believe when you have given them evidence that they're going to be shouting out, the Lord is God. Give them the evidence tonight, Lord. And after giving them the evidence, help them to live for you from this day forward. Happy home. Happy family. Happy church. Bless your people. Convert their hearts. Change them. Make them new. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. God bless the church.
Want to thank Pastor Selman again for that wonderful presentation. Let's see the hands of all those that were blessed by this presentation tonight. Oh, you were blessed. Could we say that those hands will be here again tomorrow? And listen to the conclusion of this whole matter. We want to thank you, Elder, in your usual style, informative, loud and clear. We thank you. Our closing hymn tonight will be hymn number 600. 652. 652. Love at home.
Let's all stand.